for a rich kid like Pauly Sherman.
This party's gonna be kinky.
Every day was a holiday.
Miss Delaware.
Delaware next to nothing.
Until his dad's new fiance moved in.
I have bras that work harder than you.
Now the party's over, but the war has just begun.
Your father listens to me, you know. I have his ear.
That's not the only thing you have of his.
Pauly, a new comedy.
Hug me.
Bite me.
Premiering Monday on Fox.
Hello!
Hey!
Think we can squeeze a little juice?
Ooh.
I feel like a duck-billed platypus.
Did check out the knots.
It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Let's go, Tybalt! Great adventures await!
Hey buddies, welcome back to Dystopian Dance Parties, Year of the Weasel. My name is Zach.
I'm Kelly.
And boy, have we got a show for you today. We kind of, last time in our Halloween minisode, we talked about how we found some of the episodes, in retrospect, thankfully not all of the episodes, of Pauly, the 1997 Fox sitcom that was officially the final nail in the coffin of Pauly Shore's career. So we watched it. We watched the ones we could. So I was able to find episodes 1, 2, 4, and 5. Episode 3 is gone. Are those the same ones you saw?
I might have not even watched that many. I might have just done 1, 2, and 4.
I mean, to be honest, you didn't really miss anything.
Oh, wait, was 5 the one with the, like, group of women or whatever?
5 was the one. I, like, half paid attention to all of these. Just full disclosure, I did not give this show my undivided attention because it didn't deserve it. But that's the one where he found out his stepmom was in, like, a women in prison exploitation movie called Slammer Sluts.
Oh, I didn't watch that. No, okay. I must have just seen 1, 2, and 4 then.
Yeah. Well,
I had a hell of a time finding these. I really looked everywhere. Apparently not good enough, but
I couldn't find episode 3. And there were 7 episodes filmed, but 2 of them were not aired because the show was canceled before then. So this is the level of quality that we're dealing with here. I had kind of hoped, you know, we were able to find a silver lining of Biodome, you know? So I was like, maybe it won't be that bad. But I regret to start this episode off by saying that it is that bad.
I would argue that we liked Biodome, but we were able to find a silver lining in Jury Duty.
Yeah. So this is really the second official, I mean, in our episode about, you know, the Peak Weasel episode, we talked a little bit about his album, Future of America, and weren't too warm on that. But I mean, in terms of the stuff that's gotten full episodes, we've really only been truly negative on In the Army Now. And now this is the second one. So if anybody out there was like, how the fuck could they like Jury Duty and Biodome? What is wrong with these people? There is a limit. There is a point at which we're no longer going to cape for Pauly Shore.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. Not for this show.
Yeah. So this is probably
going to
be
shockingly bad. And as someone, I like really dumb sitcoms. I almost like sitcoms that are dumber just because they're funnier to me when they fit with like the laugh track and like right. The usual like sitcom formula, but they're so stupid and like almost like anti-humor, but not even that could sustain this. Like I was so bored through most of this.
Yeah. So as you might imagine, there's not a lot of information out there about this show. It aired on Fox from March 3rd until April 7th, 1997.
Oh, no.
It was created by James Berg and Stan Zimmerman, who actually have pretty decent pedigrees. So James Berg wrote for The Golden Girls, Roseanne, and later The Gilmore Girls. He also wrote the 1996 feature film, A Very Brady Sequel, which I haven't seen in a while. I can't say whether it holds up or not, but I thought it was funny at the time. And, you know, the Golden Girls, that's like, that's honestly like a traditional sitcom that is like very well executed. So you would think, you would think somebody who wrote for the Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls is one of my comfort shows.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's always on. Like,
some of the premises are so silly that, like, I mean, obviously, like you said, it is technically a well-executed sitcom, but like, that's one of the ones that it's almost like the over-the-topness of the sitcom formula that makes it enjoyable for me. That, and I just, their house is comforting to me. Right. Like, I just like the layout of their house.
Yeah. And then Stan Zimmerman, I guess, they worked together. James Berg and Stan Zimmerman worked together quite a lot because he also did Golden Girls, also did Roseanne, also did Gilmore Girls, also did Very Brady Sequel. Notably, neither of their Wikipedia pages put Pauly front and center. I feel like that's a deliberate omission. And yeah, this was the show, like I said, was really... It was the last nail in the coffin. So I haven't talked about this in a while, but the Spin article behind the Weezick, I want to like catch us up in there. So this is funny. I don't think I've read this part yet. This is going all the way back to, you know, 94 at this point. For In the Army Now, Pauly had cut his trademark curly locks, but he was finding it would take more than a pair of barber shears to disassociate himself from his weasel persona. In an effort to change such perceptions, Pauly auditioned for small roles in films by such directors as Francis Ford Coppola, Brian De Palma, and Oliver Stone. And he said, they all liked me. They just didn't give me the role. I desperately want to see Pauly Shore in a Francis Ford Coppola movie. In fact, let's see what movie could this have been? Because the main Francis Ford Coppola movie I know from the mid-90s is Dracula. And okay, that was actually 92. So possibly, I wonder if it was Jack, the movie where Robin Williams is a child in the body of a 40-year-old man. Do you remember that movie?
So Dracula, the one with Gary Oldman in it, that one.
Yeah.
Honestly, because Keanu Reeves is in that.
It's not any weirder than Keanu. Yeah.
I don't think so either. And Keanu kind of, at that time, reminds me a little bit of Pauly Shore in some ways. Because, like, he basically is, like, a really serious, like, reprising his character from Bill and Ted. Like, he's that character, but, like, more serious.
Right. Yeah. So what if instead of Ted as Jonathan Harker, it was the weasel as Jonathan Harker? Not that much weirder, to be honest.
I don't think so either.
So anyway, he didn't get in any of those prestige movies. After that, he went back to stand up. And there's actually another stand up album that we can talk about at some point in a minisode or whatever. Him and his dad did a tour together with his dad opening for him, Sammy Shore. He said, I came out dancing like he does with the wild rock music. I was nuts. I went totally bizarro off the wall and I acted just like him. And then the music cut and my first line went, that little shit stole that stuff from me. And Sammy goes on to say, that should have been his TV series, traveling around the country in a bus with his dad, going to different cities and getting involved with the people instead of that piece of shit he did. And that piece of shit was of course Pauly.
And a piece of shit it was.
He said, it just wasn't the right role for me. It should have been the opposite. Me going into a stuffy environment. So basically like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is what he's saying it should have been. Like a white Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which I mean, might have been a better show. Like, I'm not going to say that that's not true. The way it was, it had no heart. Critics called Pauly the absolute worst series in Fox history. And Pauly said, after that, I told myself I had to start over in every way. I called my manager, Michael Rotenberg, and told him we had to part ways. It says Rotenberg agreed so readily that Pauly was shocked. It wasn't like, no, let's talk. We've been together 8 years. Instead, it was just, okay, I'll send your stuff over. And within a half hour, he'd sent like 6 boxes of my shit to me, like they'd already been packed. So yeah, this is a depressing end to the Weasel era. And I guess what we'll do this episode is get into why it's so depressing and why it doesn't really work. I'm not a big fan of sitcom-ass sitcoms. I mean, I like, you know, I was just saying I like the Golden Girls, but it's not my favorite genre of television. But I did not laugh very much watching these. And I'm someone who I want to laugh. You know, I don't get a joy out of, like, not enjoying things.
I laughed at the downbeats a couple of times. One in particular that I'll just mention now because it's not really worth mentioning in context, but my first and what ended up being my only genuine laugh was Polly is friends with this guy who works at a movie store,
right?
Or like a movie rental place, and so they always kind of like scheme things around like movie plots for some reason, like when they're creating a scheme to advance the plot, basically.
Yeah.
He'll meet up with his friend and they'll like name movies that do whatever scheme based on the plot of the movie. And when he first walked into the movie store, his friend was on the phone and he was like,
"How many? We only stock the finest in quality films, all right? We don't carry that trash. Jury duty."
But the thing for me that was funny was not, obviously, like, the joke was that they're making fun of this bad movie that Polly was in. But right. What was funny to me is that someone was calling a movie store to ask for jury duty. Like, that was the part that's funny. I want to know that person's story.
Right.
Like, that's who I want to follow in this episode. The person who's calling up a movie rental to make sure that they have jury duty. They really need it for Friday night.
Yeah, that character, by the way, is named Burger, which I did not learn until I just opened up Wikipedia just now.
I was going to say, I don't even know what Polly is. It, his name just Polly in this? I guess.
Yes, his name is Polly Sherman is his name. So,
oh, yeah, I guess, Dawn is the stepmom. I remember that now.
I guess let's talk about the premise a little bit. So I mentioned that Polly said he wanted it to be like him coming into a stuffy rich person's environment. What the show was, though, was he's this like spoiled son of a I think he's a real estate developer, but, you know, very vague, just like businessman, you know. I feel like me assuming that he's a real estate developer is actually doing more work than the writers of the show did.
There are a lot of scenes where he's at his dad's job, like for some reason presenting stuff, like presenting in meetings.
Yeah, so
they do definitely show his dad's work.
Yeah, and it seems to have, like, there was an episode where they were talking about Disney World.
Whoa, take it down to 55. Now, when you think Orlando, you think Disney World.
Hello, Mickey.
When you think Disney World, you think kids fighting, crying, driving their parents loco. Now, if there's a separate kids wing for them, well, then their parents have time for a much needed. Just a thought.
Polly, you never cease to amaze me. That is a damn good idea.
Thanks, Dad.
His dad, Edward Sherman, who's played by an actor named David Dukes, which is like, what a flex to not change his name, because all I could think of was David Duke, the white supremacist.
Well, this is Duke's plural.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start doing, whenever someone mentions David Duke, I'm going to be like, you mean David Duke's the dad from Polly? He did what?
He starts dating this woman that's much younger. Her name is Dawn Delaney. She's played by actress named Charlotte Ross, who she was on Days of Our Lives and also later NYPD Blue. She is, you know, younger, kind of like lower class. The implication is that she's kind of trashy and that she's going to be a gold digger. And Polly is like, well, first he wants to fuck her because, you know, it's a Polly Shore character. And and then he wants to get rid of her. So the whole premise of the show is this unlikable little shit. It's like if Step Brothers wasn't self-aware about how pathetic, you know, Dale and Brennan were. And they were just like, these are cool guys that you should be rooting for. That's basically what this show is.
Well, and the other thing that I think made this unsuccessful is that, like, obviously, Polly was trying to break from the Weasel brand, I suppose.
Right.
Character. But, like, Polly's humor up to this point, at least from what I saw, wasn't really, like, mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this, because probably because it's written by the guys who probably knew Golden Girls, which is basically just women constantly cutting each other down for 30 minutes. But there was a lot of, like, there's always a little bit of sexism involved. But this was, like, really, like, mean-spirited, like, misogyny.
Yeah.
Like, which I feel like was off-brand for Polly's humor, at least up to this point, from what we've seen.
Right.
Like, he usually is, like, obviously he wants to fuck these women, but it's never been like, oh, I have to get this dirty slut out of my house, which is definitely the tone here. Right. It's so bizarre. It was just, like, so, like, off what I'm used to.
Right. And this show just in general has an identity crisis. We were talking about before we started recording. So the version that we watched on YouTube, they were recordings of the show as it was broadcast, including all of the commercials and bumpers and stuff, which honestly was my favorite thing about it. Like the nicest thing I can say about this is that I got to watch it as if it was 1997. And that was, like, kind of fun. It's like, cause I think I've mentioned this before. I just like watching old commercials sometimes. So the first episode started with this, like, pre-roll ad that was such a time capsule in so many ways. They were talking about Paul Ebonics. So for those of you who are our age or older, you might remember in the mid to late 90s, there being this huge discourse around Ebonics. I think, like, one school in Berkeley or something like that, somewhere in California, one school decided to treat, we call it African-American vernacular English now, but they called it Ebonics at the time, treat Ebonics as, like, proper English. And white people lost their fucking mind. Like, white people all over the country whose kids were not going to school in Berkeley and definitely weren't going to the, you know, majority black school that's teaching Ebonics, they fucking lost it. It was this whole discourse, you know? So Fox decided to capitalize on this by having this segment about Paul Ebonics, which is the weasel speak that we've been talking about for a long time.
Everyone's learning Paul Ebonics.
Goes like this. Party.
But what's really weird about it, other than the weird, like, timely political element, is they go through all this thing and they're talking, you know, they're doing the buddy and all that stuff. And then at the end, Paulie's like,
on the new show, Pauly on Fox, I'm not doing the weasel anymore. No! But you know what I'm doing? Badger.
It's like, so what the fuck was all of that? Why are you teaching us these words that you're not even going to use anymore? It's like man on the street.
I'm not the weasel anymore. I'm the beaver. Yeah. It's a joke. Like,
okay. They're still using the weasel to, like, sell Polly, because, like we've said, the elephant in the room of these last three movies we've talked about is that he doesn't know what the hell to do when he's not the weasel. You know, sometimes it works better than others, but he still hasn't figured out a post-weasel career at this point. And Polly is, like, the nadir of that, because it's like people still recognize him as the weasel, but he's not doing the weasel anymore. But what he is doing is something that nobody wants to see.
The beaver or whatever. Yeah. Woodchuck or whatever he said.
One thing in the Paul Ebonics segment that it made it make sense to me, but it didn't make it good, you know, as this aired, at least when it first came out, this aired right after Married with Children, which is like that you can tell is the kind of vibe they're going for, because it's kind of like raunchy, you know, for 1997, it's very raunchy, you know, mean-spirited, like all of the jokes are insults. And portraying people who are, like, sort of quote unquote trashy in that, like, Bundy kind of way. But the problem is that I haven't watched that much of Married with Children, but I think I can say unequivocally, Married with Children is a much better show than Polly. And that's, you know, it has a really good cast. Like, the people are, they can sell that kind of humor and still be likable, even if their characters are, you know, kind of crass, right? And this just doesn't doesn't have that. You don't really sympathize with anyone.
And usually Polly had a way in, like, when he was being the weasel, or even in, like, Biodome, where it's like, even though he's annoying and sometimes like a deplorable character,
right,
who's still likable. In this, it's just like, I hate him. I hate everyone. there's no one that I like in this show. They're just all unlikable.
So let's talk about the ones that we saw, or we can talk about the ones that both of us watched, and then I can tell you a little bit about episode 5. So the pilot. Oh, I forgot to mention Dawn. She has a son, like a 10-year-old son, who is like...
I honestly completely forgot about that.
Because he's vestigial. Like, there's no point of this kid. I think about, for example, son-in-law had an interesting dynamic there where the girlfriend, she had the brother, that little fuck from the Sandlot, and Polly like bonded with him, you know? And there was like a dynamic there that was interesting. This has none of that. I can really think of very few interactions between Polly and the kid.
Can I help you?
You don't know who I am, do you?
Eddie Munster?
Even just sitting here myself, and I'm not a professional sitcom writer, but I'm like, it would be funny if they, you know, like a stepbrothers dynamic where they hated each other and they were like, they were kind of on the same level and trying to undermine each other. But the movie,
yeah,
the show
and
really
like kind of at the same mental level, too.
Yeah. The show really doesn't
maybe
explore.
Maybe we should challenge ourselves to write an episode of Polly. And we could do like a live table read. We could do the third episode that neither of us watched. Or one of 6 or 7 that we never aired.
This could be a good use of AI. We could feed the scripts to an AI and have them write.
I don't like AI, and in general, I think that, you know, humans are better writers, but I do think in this case that AI might be able to.
It might be an improvement. Yeah. I think we might have found the one use case for AI in writing. This episode is basically just like introducing the premise. So Edward announces that he's getting engaged to Dawn, and then Polly schemes to break them up with his best friend, Burger. So one thing I will say about this, I feel like this show, right from the start, fumbles a really vital part of the weasel mythos, which is, they got it that Polly is a loser, like arrested development child of divorce, but he's a mama's boy. Like, what the fuck is this stepmom shit? It is canon that Polly is in an Oedipal struggle with his stepfather, not his stepmother.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was like, you know, that's the weasel, but this is the beaver.
Right, right. That's what sets him apart.
He's really close to his dad. It's like when he does interviews and they ask him, like, what's the difference between you and the weasel? He's like, well, the weasel's like this. But I'm like this. It's like that, but it's like, instead of, it's just a difference of genders. It's like a mirror.
He's a daddy's boy.
I think that's kind of what makes Polly more likable too, is that he's a mama's boy.
Right.
Because, you know,
like, it's not even that he likes his, like, he doesn't really seem to have a close relationship with his dad in this show. He just seems to be like a leech.
Yeah, that's true. It's like he won't let someone else be a gold digger.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like, that is the punchline of that joke that Polly told a million times in the early 90s about how, like, it's his job to leech off of his mom. But then there's also that element of him, you know, just being a mama's boy that, like, just doesn't make the... And I think that kind of takes the edge off of his character a little bit. And Polly has none of that. He's just like, an entitled little shit.
And I think also part of it too is that when he was the Weasel, he was a couple years younger, and now it's like you can kind of see a receding hairline. So the joke is just like not really as funny anymore.
It is a little unseemly. He's now is he 30 yet? Oh, he's almost 30 because he was born in 1968. So he's 29 years old at this point. Yeah, it hits different when you're 21, you know, versus 29. Oh, this is the one where like his way of trying to break them up is...
Well, here we go. I actually wrote the premise here. So okay. Let me see here. Episode 1. Polly's dad is getting remarried to Dawn. Polly is a grown man who still lives with his dad and is suspicious of Dawn because she's a blonde bimbo who Polly thinks is trying to gold dig. He's friends with a guy who works at a movie store. I love that I did not bother to learn his name. Not even when I was writing notes. And for some reason, their plans are prompted by different movies.
We have to figure a way to stop this wedding.
Say no more. Come on over here and you watch the master at work. Okay? Wedding. Here we go. Muriel's wedding. Let's see. What about 4 weddings and a funeral?
Perfect. We could kill her.
Kill. To kill a mockingbird, dressed to kill, faster pussycat, kill.
Mission impossible.
What?
Mission impossible. We can tap into her computer at her old job and blackmail her like they did in the movie.
Brilliant, Mr. Phelps. All right, at where she used to work?
Sherman Resorts, down in Dandy.
We're in. I accessed her entire address book.
Yes, so they have the party, and they invite a bunch of her rich ex-boyfriends to the party, and then they end up trying to get each other kicked out of the house. Because one of the other things that they're leeching off of the dad.
Right.
Is this the one that has the, oh, never mind. I read ahead of my notes. There's a fun cameo later.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm going to go to bat for that as my favorite episode. Yeah, my least favorite episode. One thing I think is interesting is I feel like maybe it would help make Polly less unlikable if we actually had any evidence that Dawn was a gold digger. But by all appearances, you know, they seem to actually be in love or whatever.
Other the dad seems she's happy. She's like younger.
Right.
She's like younger, and I guess she dates a lot of rich guys.
Right.
Don't you get it, Polly? I'm not here just because your father's rich. Guys with money are a dime a dozen, as you can see. Hi, Fred. But your father is special. He's sweet and caring, and I'm not used to being treated like that, and I really think this could be something special.
What do you mean, like love?
Yeah, sure, why not?
And I mean, I guess you have to put yourself in the shoes of the point of view of this show, which is, like you said, very sexist. And the one episode that you didn't watch, episode 5, since we didn't both watch it, I'll go ahead and talk about it now. So in that one, Polly finds out that Dawn was in a, it sounds like a women in prison movie called Slammer Sluts. And he tries to blackmail her by finding her former co-star. But then him and the co-star kind of hit it off. And he's like starting to date her. And so Berger is like trying to break them up. It's like there's no, the only dynamic for men and women in this universe is trying to get rid of the woman.
What do I think? Okay. I think she's evil, okay? She's Satan's lap dancer.
I've been binge watching Gossip Girl too, and in that the whole thing is just them scheming basically to ruin each other's lives. Just a bunch of rich people scheming to ruin each other's lives. And now that we're describing Polly, I'm like, this is not dissimilar to this.
The only other thing I'll say about that episode is I think Dawn is trying to put together some kind of charity event. So these different celebrities are showing up, and it feels to me, I don't know if this is true because I apparently all 7 episodes were filmed, but it feels like a last-ditch effort to keep the show from getting canceled. They're like, well, what if Eric Estrada shows up, you know? Like, what? And it turns out that even Eric Estrada couldn't save Polly. Oh, and Dionne Warwick's in it at the beginning, which is very funny weird, because Polly, like, I'm used to Dionne Warwick now, who's, like, you know, America's grandmother, but this was Dionne Warwick when she was mostly known for her involvement with the Psychic Friends Network. So, like, the first thing she does, the first thing Pauly does is make a reference to that.
Dionne Warwick! My psychic friend! Quick, what am I thinking?
Yeah, this is quite unusual. I don't sense any mental activity at all.
You really are good.
There is some pleasure to be had in watching this show just because it's so 1997 and the references are of their time.
And there are so many cameos. So the one that I was referring to happens in episode 2.
Yeah.
And the plot of this one is that Pauly thinks Don is cheating on Pauly's dad, David Deuce, with the incompetent handyman. So this is the one where the handyman is coming in and, like, just kind of messing stuff up.
Right.
And they assume that they're having an affair. And Adam West has a cameo. Did you see that part?
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of for no reason.
I was really confused at first because so what's happening is they're trying to set up, like, security cameras to spy on the handyman. And Pauly's like,
I have a neighbor who's an expert at this stuff. We can call him. Huh? Hey, Bruce Wayne.
And I was like, is Pauly in the same universe as Batman?
Part this is Adam West. I'm an actor. There is no Batman. There's no Batmobile. And for the last time, don't ever call me again. Hello, Commissioner. We have a problem. No, it's not the Joker. No, it's not the Riddler. It's worse. It's the Weasel.
Which again. He said he's not doing the Weasel
right.
Anymore.
So he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. This was my favorite episode. I'm basically just because of the Adam West cameo. I can't point to another specific thing.
It's a very, very
thing.
Low bar.
Yeah.
I can point to one specific thing. It's at the beginning when Pauly goes,
Scoozy, I'll be in the koozie.
He goes in the jacuzzi. That's it. The actual gag, which is that the jacuzzi is broken and he gets, like, stuck in the whirlpools, isn't actually funny, but Scoozy, I'll be in the koozie is
yeah.
Really funny. Did I mention his last job was at Raging Waters?
Oh, by the way, I'm on the IMDb page right now, and I can see that the pilot has an IMDb rating of 1.5 stars out of 10.
Wow, I think honestly, I think that's generous.
But episode 5 has a rating of 2.2 stars out of 10, so it improved. And actually, Spies Like Us, which is episode 2, that's the one that I said is my favorite by default. That's actually 1.4 out of 10. So that actually has the lowest rating out of any of them on IMDb. before we go into episode 4, let me just say episode 3, the synopsis here, this is the one that we couldn't find. Feeling ignored by his father, Pauly decides to run away from home. That actually sounds like it might be funny.
I know. That's the one I wanted to watch because I looked that up too. I looked everywhere. If someone has episode 3 somewhere, totally Pauly fan, if you can track that down,
yeah,
just give us a link or send it to us because I actually want to see it.
Yeah, we can always talk about it in a minisode or whatever. We're not planning stuff in that
at all.
Great. Yeah, at all. So, okay, episode 4, that's the one where he's trying to date the, like, business lady, right?
Yeah, and that's the one I was thinking had. So there's, like, this group of, like, older women, which are basically the Golden Girls, because they're just, like, rich older women who, like, constantly cut each other down and wear moo-moos.
Look at them. The three most powerful women in Brentwood on my patio.
That one's Cassandra.
Slut.
And then there's Pamela, the facelift queen.
Rumor has it she's really a 70-year-old man.
And her?
Ariana's jaw is wired shut to keep her from eating. Now she's on a liquid diet. They're phony, vicious, and backstabbing. You'll fit right in.
And Dawn is trying to, like, get in with them because then she'll be accepted, like, in that world. and stop being treated like she's low class.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, I can't remember why it is, but in the meantime, Polly wants to date that woman at his dad's work. And so Dawn helps him to become like straight, basically.
Like, right.
Good at his job and like wears a suit. And so that those are kind of like the A and B plots, or that they're right. both trying to like fit in with a group that they don't usually fit in with.
Sorry to interrupt, Ed, but given the float between the pound and the yen, we'll be overpaying by 14th and 5/8 of a share. Give or take an eighth.
Polly?
Polly? Polly?
Polly? Anywho, running up the flagpole, noodle around and get back to me.
Yeah, and then what? I guess what happens is the woman he's trying to date takes credit for an idea. It's a very interesting, like, reverse feminist plot, because it's usually that's something you see from, like, the man taking the woman's idea. And in this case, it's the woman undermining him. And his dad is, and he tries to get her fired because, again, he's just constantly trying to ruin other people's lives in this show.
Right?
And his dad's like,
I'm not going to fire Becca.
But, Dad, she was mean to me.
She's a shark. Every company needs one.
Well, then maybe you should fire me.
Well, I do have about 100 Pauls on my payroll. But I only have one Paulie.
Thanks, Dad.
This brings something up because I was just looking at the poster or the it's like a TV guy ad or something. I've seen this before. It has a picture of Polly and it says, for Polly, being unemployed isn't a problem. It's a full time job. When I saw it before, I never thought anything of it. But then after I watched the show, he's not fucking unemployed. He works for his dad.
Yeah.
He has like a.
Yeah. In the first episode, he walks in during a meeting and he's dressed like Polly. And then he just like puts on this like one piece like suit.
Right.
Like it's like a suit, like the suit jacket, the pants, a button down shirt and a tie. And he just like puts it on. Like,
yeah. He's a Nepo baby. He's not unemployed.
Right.
Like what the hell? They right. couldn't even get their own plot right. I don't think I have anything else to say about episode 4 specifically. In general, one thing we haven't mentioned, there's also a housekeeper character.
Oh yeah, and it's the babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah, her name's Amy Hill. And boy, like you texted me about that. You were like, oh my God, it's the babysitter from Cat in the Hat is in Polly. And that just really drove home. So we'd read that AV Club interview with Amy Hill. We talked about it because she specifically talked about what a nightmare Mike Myers was on the set of Cat in the Hat. But the overall gist of the interview was just that the late 90s and early 2000s was a very difficult time to be an Asian American character actress, you know? And this really just, that article doesn't talk about Polly at all because it's not even a remarkable chapter in her career. But man, it underlines that for sure, because she's mostly just there to like drive the plot along. She gets a little bit of a chance to shine in episode 2, because it turns out that she's the one that's having the affair with the handyman, and the handyman is actually related to Dawn.
Yeah, it's Dawn's cousin. Yeah. I like completely did not catch that she was having an affair.
Oh yeah, no, because they find letters from the handyman, and he keeps calling her his little pot sticker. So that's which.
Oh my God!
I wonder if I might have missed this again. I did not pay close attention to any of these episodes, but
I missed apparently this important plot point.
I think I
heard them say the thing about the pot sticker, but it just completely, I was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I wonder if they at first thought Dawn because it's the name of a detergent. So they were like pot, you know, but then it turns out that it's an Asian lady. And that's why it was pot sticker.
I'm sorry, pot sticker, but I locked myself out of your room.
It's push, Jake, not pull.
Sue me!
What? As I always say, if you're gonna eat beef, order a Whopper.
So there you go. That's Polly. It was mercifully killed after five episodes. Let's real quick look at the synopses for episode 6 and 7, see what we missed. So episode 6 was going to be called The Babe Magnet. Oh, here we go. So Polly takes a shine to Zach, which is the son's name, when a flirtatious single mom mistakes Polly's young stepbrother to be for his son. So, okay, so Zach does become part of the story at some point, just not until 6 episodes in. And then, oh boy, episode 7, Life's a Drag. Polly jumps at the chance to judge a beauty contest, but he's initially oblivious to the fact that the contestants are drag queens. Mm-hmm. How well do you think that would have aged?
And see, that's another thing, because I'm sure it would have been bad.
Yeah.
But like, Polly has previously, you know, had like RuPaul on Chilling with the Weeds, and he's done drag and stuff. So I imagine that the tone will be completely different from how those went.
Right.
Although, to be fair, Polly did keep asking RuPaul if she like talked and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
But I can just guess that the tone would be.
Yeah. Something tells me. Maybe it's for the better that we didn't get to see those last two episodes. I still might get AI to write maybe episode 6. I don't know if I want to see episode 7. Do you have any final thoughts about Polly?
I don't think so. I mean, it wasn't our most enjoyable watch. It wasn't the most difficult watch. It was just kind of like work.
No.
It was kind of like a task that I had to get through.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, you know, like it's so mediocre that it's bad. You know, that's
right,
really
what
it is.
Yeah.
It's not even, I've seen more painful stuff that I've had more trouble getting through. But it's like, it doesn't need to exist. That's really all there is.
It just kind of like, it just kind of was in one ear and out the other. I mean, if I hadn't taken notes, I wouldn't have even remembered the plot. I barely remembered anyone's names. I barely remembered that the titular character's name was Polly.
Right, right.
It was just so completely meaningless to me.
We're now moving into unexplored territory or less explored territory, because after this, you know, Polly fired his agent. Let's see, when I'm looking at IMDb, the next thing he's in is called The Curse of Inferno. A rather dull-minded bank robber suddenly suffers from a change of heart and decides to give the money back. However, he then learns that getting the money back into the bank is much more difficult than taking it out. You know what? I think we should watch this. Like, who, you know?
Yeah, I just saw that. I hadn't even heard of this, and I just saw the movie poster while I was looking up Polly stuff.
Yeah. It's apparently streaming on the Roku channel.
Oh, well, perfect.
So.
As long as it's free.
Yeah. He was in a couple of, he did voice work for a couple of Casper. You know what? Maybe we can do a mini-sode at some point about his voice roles, not including Pinocchio. That's going to get its own show, of course.
Oh, God. Yeah, because, he plays Pinocchio, so that'll be throughout. We probably should have just done that with the fucking Goofy movie.
We should have, too. Yeah. Well, again, we're not planning anything. You know, we're just improvising. So that'll be the next main episode, this movie that we've never even heard of. I'm sure it's going to suck.
That we just found out exists.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be bad, but hopefully it'll at least be bad in a more interesting way than Polly was. And next week, I know since this was a shorter episode and it took longer for us to get to it. Next week, we're going to do for Thanksgiving, we're going to watch some Thanksgiving episodes of Totally Polly. So you can look forward to that. In the meantime, you can find us on YouTube at Dystopian Dance Party, on Instagram at Dystopian Graham, on the web at dystopiandanceparty.com. And you can follow us on your podcast service of choice, write a review, all that good stuff. And if for some reason you want to watch Polly, you can find some of the episodes on YouTube I don't know if it's going to be worth it, but you can do it if you want.
Yeah, it's almost certainly not.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Hey, Mikey, come on. Let's beat it. Show me. How do you do it?